Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
All right, Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an OO and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. 2337th Avenue is where they're located. Go check out that great gang headed up by Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff. Okay, we're joined by another great dude, Mitch Picton, formerly of the Rams, currently of the Rough Riders. First off, Mitch, what was it like to be called up at the end of the year there in that playoff run? Just what kind of experience did that give you?
Oh, it was awesome. When we finished our season with the Rams, I felt like I was done a little bit early and wasn't quite ready to be done playing ball for the year. So to be able to go and put the helmet back on and play a little bit more football was awesome. And yeah, it was an incredible experience to head out east and be in that kind of environment in that late in the season for them in the Eastern Final.
It's kind of amazing, eh? The Riders were 5 yards away, basically 5 yards away from being in the Grey Cup.
Yeah, it was wild when we took that punt return to the house. I kind of thought it was only one stop away, but yeah, we were close, but just couldn't quite finish it off.
Okay, so 2017 wraps up in fine style for Mitch Picton. He has a great career with the Rams, and you know, as we wrap up the year, what's your one memory of your career with the Rams? If you could pick one memory of your career, what would it be?
One memory. I'm not sure if I could pick one. I'd say overall is he playing with Aaron and with Noah, and then Blake as well there.
Yeah, that's the family tie-in, hey?
Yeah, it was a pretty incredible experience being able to do that. And I don't know, kind of just having the whole family involved. I mean, every game would come out, there'd be 20 Pictons and Anakas waiting for us outside the tunnel and that sort of thing. And, you know, there were times when Aaron would be snapping the ball to Noah, and he'd throw it to me, and Blake would be in the backfield beside Noah, sort of thing. So it'd be pretty cool.
What's it like to be a Rider officially now with that 2-year deal plus an option? That's a nice way to end 2017. Nice little stocking stuffer for you.
Yeah, no kidding. A little bit of it was nice that they called me up that quick after the season to come in and sign. That was nice to get that, and a nice feeling of security, I guess, that they wanted to get that deal done.
What's the one attribute you like to hang your hat on, Mitch Picton? Like, what do you think your big strength is as a receiver?
I would say versatility. I think that I can play multiple spots on the field, and I think I can contribute in a lot of ways by doing that and playing it in the slot and at wideout as well.
You know, as a Canadian trying to cut your teeth and make a CFL roster, you're going to have to do some special teams. Is that something you like to do? Something you maybe got to, you know? I know as your career went on with the Rams, they kept you out of that and they wanted you just to kind of be a receiver. Is that something you kind of got to sharpen up again to get that special team side of the game down?
Yeah, of course. When I came into the Rams, I had to do the same thing. I kind of had to cut my teeth playing teams. So yeah, it's something I've done before. It's something I enjoy doing. It's a lot of fun to be out there making plays on special teams. So yeah, that's something that I like doing, and I'm looking forward to getting into again.
Dude, this has got to be cool for you, though. I mean, you're a Regina boy through and through, and you get to play for the Rough Riders. Just, are you pinching yourself? What does this mean to you?
Yeah, it's honestly a dream come true. On draft day, to have them call my name was, I honestly wasn't really expecting it. And yeah, to have it all happen like this and kind of come to fruition is pretty incredible.
Well, who's the one guy you kind of looked up to as a Rough Rider when you were coming up through the ranks in high school with Lobolis, and then as you wind your way through your Rams career, who was kind of one of those Riders that you were kind of emulating your career after?
It's actually kind of funny because I'm playing with him now, but it was actually Rob Bagg would be a guy that mm-hmm. I thought was an incredible player coming through, mm-hmm. and him and Dresser as well were guys that. Canadian, Rob's Canadian, but yeah, just guys that work really hard and have done great things in the league for a long time. So yeah, those are two guys that I definitely thought were incredible players.
It's funny, you got caught with that too, because I always consider Dressler a Canadian too. He lives in Regina in the off season, and he just seems Canadian with his demeanor, right? From just over the border in the States, but he does seem Canadian. I know another guy you kind of looked up to or kind of tried to emulate, you told me in the past, was Getzlaff. And when I think of Getzlaff, I kind of think of Mitch Picton too, with the way you guys kind of run routes and your good hands and stuff.
Yeah, him as well, for sure. He's been in the league a long, long time, and he's a guy that I've been able to train with a little bit, and I chatted with him a lot when I was out east with the Riders at the end of the season there. Yeah, he's another great guy that's done great things in the league for a long time that I definitely try to model my game after, and you know, if I can do some of the things that he does, hopefully my career will move in the same direction.
Any tips from Coach Jones on what you need to do to take your game to the next level and be a bona fide professional football player, or what do you think you need to do to take that next step?
I think I need to get in the weight room more, continue to get bigger, faster, stronger, and kind of progress that way on the field, because in the pro game, those guys are big, they're fast, and so I think that getting in the weight room would be a big one for me.
Well, we're happy that he's a part of the Regina sporting scene still as a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Mitch Picton. Thanks for this, Mitch.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
And Happy New Year. And the Growing the Game podcast is brought to you by our good friends at Mako Collision Repair in Regina. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair in Regina at 2337th Avenue with our good friends Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff over there. Okay, we're talking now with the all-time leading receiver in terms of yardage in Can West history, second in terms of catches. That would be Mitch Hillis of the U of S Huskies, formerly of the U of S Huskies. How does that feel?
It's a little different, that's for sure. I mean, being with the program for 5 years, now being formerly with them, it's a change.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, what's that going to be like for you? 5 years regimented both in-season and off-season, and now there's no, like, university football. But I understand you have some aspirations still on the gridiron.
Yeah, no, it's right now it's primarily the same, just with training, hopefully, for the CFL. I think the big difference will come in the fall when the boys are gearing up for the season, and I'm not, or I maybe hopefully will be already in a season, so that'll be a little different.
Yeah, of course. So you were picked by the BC Lions, and now where does that stand in terms of being re-signed by them?
We're kind of talking to see if the opportunity is there to go back, so hopefully that works out and I'll be able to go back there this season.
If football doesn't work out in terms of playing, Mitch, would you like to stay in the game either as a coach or in some sort of fashion?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've done some coaching just with some minor leagues. And if it doesn't work out as a player, I'd for sure continue to do that. I really enjoy it.
You know, look back on your career for me. What were some of the highlights for you in your 5 years with the Huskies?
A big highlight for me was playing with my brother, Kit. He's 5 years older than me, so we didn't really get to play any sports together really growing up, so playing with him for 2 years was awesome, and then just being able to be able to play for my 5 years and actually contribute, I'd say those are the two big things that were a great experience and opportunity that I was able to have.
Yeah, you know, a local boy staying in that town, playing on that campus where, you know, football does matter, that's kind of cool. It's a cool experience.
Yeah, no, for sure it is.
You know, you look at your career, and in terms of, we talked about at the start of the interview here, talking about being the all-time leader in terms of receiving yards. Just, you know, last year didn't go the way you wanted in terms of a record, but just in terms of that accomplishment, what does that mean to you?
Honestly, I'm still kind of surprised by it. Like I said earlier, just being able to play and actually contribute in my 5 years, I thought was phenomenal, and I never thought something like this would have come from it, but I guess things worked out in my favor.
Hey, was 87 a symbolic number for you, or was that a number they just gave you?
That was the number they just gave me. Yeah,
but
it worked out. I really like it.
Yeah, you made that number stand out for sure. Obviously, in the record books too. So, just going back over your 5 year career, who are some of the names that you know kind of helped you along in terms of players, or you know, some of your good buddies on the team?
I'd say Jalen Lynch. He's with the Stampeders now, but I came in a year after him, and actually, my good buddy Bryden Osmond came in right after them. They were two highly touted recruits, and they both kind of redshirted their first year. So when I came in, we were all on the same level, and we're fortunate enough to all be able to play together on the field. So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
and then still remain close with them. And my brother, obviously, he was a good mentor, just with him being an older guy on the team, getting his perspective on things.
Yeah,
and
how did you like the fact your brother was commentating your games and could critique you at the microphone?
Yeah, no, I wasn't able to hear any of what he was saying, but people would tell me that that he was pumping my tires a bit and didn't remain the most unbiased at times.
That's okay. In terms of coaches, you know, who brought you along and helped develop your career to what it came to be?
Jason Sauls, for sure. He's with U of A right now. Mm-hmm. But when I came in, he was the receivers coach in my first year, and he helped me out a tremendous amount. I'd say built me from being an unpolished athlete into a polished receiver, if I can call myself that. And then once he left, Scott Flory came in, and he kind of took over and helped me learn the game and get a bit better at that kind of area.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, how do you want your career to be remembered, the U of S? If somebody was to say Mitch Ellis was, how do you want them to remember your career?
I would say just, a hardworking, good student athlete that, treated everybody right and just had a good time playing football.
I think it's a pretty good description from everybody I've talked to. They say you're a top-notch guy who's a good good clubhouse guy. What do you think of the team that you're leaving behind? You're a 2-6 team, a young team. You got the veteran quarterback. You kind of got the younger quarterback. I was at your last regular season game. You guys have a pretty good running back in Shaq Harris. Just your thoughts on the team you're leaving behind.
Oh, I think the team that's going to be there next year, there's no shortage in skill, that's for sure. And I think our record even last year didn't show how good of a team we actually were. Things just kind of didn't go our way. We had a few games that we probably should have won and could have won, but, you know, that's the game of sport, that things always don't go your way. So I think they're in great hands with the new coaching staff and the players. They're gonna have no shortage of talent out there, so I think they'll do okay.
All right, and lastly, I know 2018 is upon us here as we head into the new year. I think I know the answer to this, but what's your goal for 2018, Mitch Ellis?
My goal in 2018, I mean, first of all, would be graduating school.
Mm-hmm.
And then second of all, would be making a CFL roster if I get the opportunity. So a lot of things to come, a lot of exciting opportunities.
Hey, before we wrap up, what's your degree?
Kinesiology.
Awesome. Okay, good. So that's good. I like that answer because you're thinking school first and football second, and that's another thing I heard about you. It was always the student first and then the athlete. All right. Mitch Ellis, thanks for this. It's been a pleasure watching you for 5 years.
No, thank you. It was a great opportunity.
And our last Growing the Game with Ballsy podcast of 2017 rolls along. Hopefully you've had a great year of football, and hopefully you're going to spread this podcast to your friends and family and all your contacts in the football world as we try to grow this great game of football in this fine province of Saskatchewan. Before we talk with Len Antonini of Regina Minor Football, let's talk about the two PFC teams from Saskatchewan. First, the Regina Thunder. I had a chance to talk to Scott McCauley this week and asked him, picking his brain about some of the big highlights for his team this year. He said, beating the previously ranked number one team, the Edmonton Huskies, right in their home stadium and advancing to the PFC final would be the one highlight of the year. The other one for him would be going out to Hamilton and traveling there for an interconference game, something the PFC tried this year as the Regina Thunder went down and hammered the Hamilton Hurricanes there at the Donut Shop, Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton. Another highlight for the Regina Thunder. And of course, Tom Sargent's crew. What can you say about these guys? They win another Canadian Bowl championship, whipping the Windsor AKO Fratmen in November for their fourth straight national championship, an unprecedented record. So congratulations to Tom Sargent and his crew, the Saskatoon Hilltops. All right, it's time now to take a look back at 2017 with the Regina Minor Football League and Len Antonini. And Len, we're looking at Libel Field. Every time I go out there, it seems like it's a different looking field out there. You got some big improvements on the way there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're opening up a new headquarter building. It should be open by the end of January. You know, we're going to have four dressing rooms there, and our equipment room is going to be there. We're going to have a boardroom, a classroom, and then some offices. So it's going to be a, a real nice place for us to operate Regina Minor Football.
Len, do you want to thank some of your sponsors that have helped help put this thing, you know, kind of the way it is right now, and the shape and the vision that you have out there at Libel Field? It takes a lot of hands and a lot of sponsors to pull this off.
Yeah, when you take a look at it, you know, we got guys like Gary Drummond and Gary Redhead, Tim Kramer, Murad Al-Khatib. These guys here, you know, they've done a great job with not only helping us financially, but helping us with, you know, ideas of how to do things and what we should do and what's going to be best for our community here with this building.
You have to pinch yourself, Len. Like back in the day when I was playing minor football, I didn't play that long, but I mean, we just played in a grass field. There were gopher holes and that type of stuff to what it is today. I always tell people, if you were blindfolded and just dropped at Libel Field in the Douglas Park area, you'd feel like you were maybe in Calgary or BC or something like that. It's that nice a setting.
Yeah, when you take a look at what we've achieved, you know, the facility is going to be worth about $9 million, and we've turned it back to the city of Regina. So it's going to be it's not a strip mall type of building. It's a concrete building that, you know, it's going to be around for 100 years, and it's going to be an asset to the city of Regina for 100 years. And you know, it's just something that, you know, we're fortunate to have been able to build.
Len, this is your radio billboard for Regina Minor Football. If you had a billboard and you wanted to put one message out to parents or prospective players or current players, what would you want to say about Regina Minor Football?
Well, I'd just like to say that it's in good shape. It's our motto. It's fun. It's fair. It's football. We've got a board of directors that does a lot of things right, and there's lots of hype about everything, but, you know, worry about the contact and that type of thing. But, you know, we're looking after a lot of the important things and making football not only fun and fair, but it's also safe. So, continue to enjoy football here in Saskatchewan and in Regina especially.
You know, a lot of people like to pick at football right now with the safety issue, and I want to touch on that in a second. But what do you think the best thing is about football? If I'm a parent and I want to sign my kid up to play Regina Minor Football, why should I do it? What are some of the benefits?
Well, you know, we everybody always talks about the John Ryans and the Chris Getzlaffs and the guys that play pro football. But when you take a look at the 1,500 kids that we get to play every year, you know, they learn about discipline and about relationships. And that makes them better football players. But when you take a look at discipline and relationships, it makes you a better person in the community. So it's something that, when you take a look at the people that have played football, they have a real good outlook on life, and I think it helps you in every way.
They're doctors, they're lawyers, they're firefighters, they're radio announcers. I mean, they come from all walks of life for sure. Absolutely. Some better than others. Hey, you touched on the safety thing, and it's a big deal, not just like at the Regina Minor Football level, but right up to the pros. What are you guys doing with Regina Minor Football in conjunction with Football Saskatchewan to kind of alleviate some of those concerns on the parents' behalf? Because let's face it, it's probably, and I'm not trying to be stereotypical here, but it's probably the mom that's concerned about her kid playing football, guy or girl playing football, and it's a legitimate concern. What are you guys doing in terms of the safety aspect?
Well, when you take a look at it, concussions are a real concern on the playing field, but they're a concern in life too, because you take a look at places like Winnipeg where they're having concussion protocol on their playgrounds at the schools and that type of thing, and that's just telling us that, you know, they need to be recognized and managed when they happen. And you know, you got to make sure that everybody's informed and they know how to manage a concussion appropriately. And you know, if we educate everybody on how to, you know, watch for the signs and the symptoms of concussions, and recognize that we need to put a recovery plan in place, and we're going to be able to control, you know, look after the vast majority of the concussions. And when you take a look at those, a lot of times the concussion you see in youth athletes, they make a complete recovery. And as long as they're managed properly and recognized early, and I really believe our concussion protocol promotes that. So I can tell moms or parents, I'm confident that, you know, when you look at the equipment we have, we train our coaches in in safe contact. You know, they have certification. We have EMTs and paramedics on the sidelines. Our trainers, our coaches, our referees, everybody watches for the signs and symptoms of concussions. I honestly believe that it's a safe sport to play.
Yeah, no, it's a physical sport. It's going to be a physical sport. You can never get around that. You need to know that going in. But gone are the days when a guy like Len Antonini gets hurt, like with a concussion, and they'd say, Len's got a concussion. Good, throw him out there and tell him he's Mike Singletary. Those days are done. Like, you guys, and that, I think that is a key here. You guys at that level are really recognizing that, you know what, we're going to take our time putting these players back onto the field of play. And I really like the way Regina Minor Football, and I could speak to this, I like how you guys monitor the injuries and you monitor the playing time. I think the fair aspect is something that I like too about Regina Minor Football.
Yeah, I, like I said, I think our board of directors do a real good job in operating a great sports organization. We do a lot of things right, and it ends up being better for, you know, the kids and the community, you know, and make better adults when they grow up.
Hey, I want to ask you a last question. You know, you look at the success that Saskatchewan and Southern Saskatchewan has when you guys go to, like, Canada Cups, and it really starts right here with Regina Minor Football. And I talked to other football organizations like PA Minor Football, even Saskatoon Minor Football, and they kind of use what you guys are doing as a template. Why do you think we are producing the great football players that we are in Southern Saskatchewan? If you could hang your hat on one thing, what is it?
Like I said, I think that we make it fun and fair. And you know, every kid gets an opportunity to play. And it's in a safe environment. So, it's something, like I say, I can't help but say that our board does a lot of things right. A lot of our board members don't have kids playing, so they're doing it for the right reason too. You know, we don't really care about who wins or loses. It's more about, you know, learning about discipline and learning about relationships and becoming better football players and becoming better citizens in the city of Regina.
Okay, lastly, as we go into 2018, Len, what's your hopes for Regina Minor Football in terms of 2018? What do you want to see? What's maybe one thing you'd like to kind of tweak or improve on?
Well, we want to get our numbers back up a bit. You know, our numbers have gotten a little bit lower the last couple of years. You know, and I think we've been concentrating on the building and the upgrade at Libel Field. And now I think we got to get back to, you know, back into the community and have people come out and take a look at our facilities and take a look at our equipment. You know, we have second to none equipment and just take a look at the organization as a whole and realize that, you know, people they get an opportunity to play football. It's a memorable opportunity that kids get to play.
Len, how much do you think the Riders' success affects your numbers? Like, they weren't good for a few years, and now they're starting to turn the corner, and if they can sustain some success, I think that just generates energy for the sport across the whole community.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you take a look at the Riders and the job that, you know, that they've done here in the community, again, they're doing a great job. You know, Jones, he's putting a good product on the field, and he they want to win. So, you know, anytime you bring excitement into the province, it makes it a little easier to promote the game that's so great to play.
All right, Len, thanks for this. Congratulations on a great year and Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Mike.
All right, earlier in the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy, we heard from Len Antonini with Regina Minor Football. Let's go up north and talk with Taras Kaczkowski with Prince Albert Minor Football. How are you, Taras?
Very good, thank you, Michael. How
good
about yourself?
Good, man. So I understand it was a pretty good year of football up there in PA, especially for the Peewees and the Bantams. Tell us.
Yeah, well, we basically had our, I would say, one of our most successful seasons ever. The Bantams had their second best year ever, and the Pee Wee's best of all time since the PA Minor Football has been around for the last decade or so. Both teams finished with 500 records and lost out on the first round of the playoffs, which doesn't sound perhaps too impressive to some, but like I say, that has been our best year ever. So we're pretty happy with the kids and how they performed this year. Sure.
You were talking about the Pee Wee and the changes to Pee Wee with 9 players per side. Do you think that had something to do with the success?
I really do think that, Football Canada switched, recommendation to have Pee Wee played it with nine-man rules really was a difference maker for sure. It really looked to me like the kids kind of understood the game better, made better reads, made better plays because of it. So I really do think that that was certainly one piece of the puzzle as to how we accomplished what we did this year for sure.
I had Scott McCauley, head coach of the Regina Thunder, on the Growing the Game podcast a couple of episodes ago, and he was really high on a kid named Bobo out of your program out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, he started, Bobo Kisasari started playing with our Bantam program and progressed to play with St. Mary's and apparently had a very successful time in his 4 years there, and it was obviously enough for Coach McCauley to want to recruit him over to the Thunder, and that makes seven players now from PA Minor Football that are on the Thunder roster, so that's, I would say, seven feathers in our hat for sure.
What does that do for football in Prince Albert when kids see a guy like Bobo and six others advance to a program like the Thunder?
Well, the saying goes, success breeds success, right? So, I mean, the more kids that we can, help along to those next levels, I think the more other kids and other parents are like, oh, well, maybe I should kind of get in on this too, kind of thing, right? So I'm certainly hoping that football becomes more of a serious consideration and, hoping to see a few more kids sign up because of that. I mean, obviously, not everybody that plays the game is ever going to get to those next levels, but for those that do, obviously, again, like I say, I think that that speaks to first of all the quality of kids that we have in our city and surrounding area, and also, well, I would say the quality of our programs as well between the minor program and the high schools for sure.
We're talking PA Minor Football with Taras Kaczkowski, and Taras, what's besides the Pee Wee and Bantam success you had in terms of records and Pee Wee going to nine man, what's another thing that your football association did well this year in 2017, do you think?
Oh boy, that's a interesting question. I just think that we continue to really make inroads in the community as far as giving kids the option of playing a game that might be more what's the word I'm looking for?
I've always found football more of like the affordability of football as opposed to like hockey and football. We talked about this earlier, me and you, in an earlier episode. The just the fact that it seems like it's more than any other sport a team game. Like you whether it's nine man or 12 man, you can have eight guys do something right, but that ninth guy makes a mistake, the play is dead. So everybody has to be working together.
Absolutely, for sure. And I think, the point you make about football's affordability, I think that's something that's, I think, a lot of people are starting to understand a little more, and that's certainly another reason for people to sign up their kids to play football. And that is the great thing about football is it is such a team sport. Everybody has a job to do on the field, and for us to be successful, for any team to be successful, everybody on the field has to do their job, kind of thing. So I think there's definitely some valuable life lessons in there beyond the sport that are taught by playing the game, kind of thing, right? So that's certainly I would say a big reason why my parents should sign their kids up to play.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so lastly, I asked you what you think you did well. A couple things you touched on there. What's a goal for 2018 for your football association there in Prince Albert? What's something you want to expand on or do maybe a little better, you think?
Well, I mean, there's, I guess all there's always clinics out there for our coaches to go to become, that much better trained in their field. And I just want to continue growing PA Minor Football. I mean, we've got, this program starting from age 4 all the way up to age 17, contact and non-contact. And you know, I would love to see any kid that's interested in PA and area play, you know, try playing the game. And like I say, as the title of the podcast is, we're trying to grow the game here. And I think that's our biggest goal for the next year and beyond for sure.
Well, that's great, because that's mine too. Taras Kaczkowski with the Prince Albert Minor Football Association. Happy New Year, and we look forward to talking to you and people of Prince Albert here in 2018.
Thanks a lot, Michael, and we'll definitely be keeping in touch.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.